can't always get what you want.
But if you try sometimes, you get what you need. What is what you need? There must be like a really low bar for that.
What I need is my prop job back.
Yeah. Well, listen, Wayne, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. You know, your prop job doesn't come back. You get other opportunities, like government handout checks.
Oh.
You know?
Why you gotta go there? Why you gotta... I was supposed to, like, complain about a bad beat story, and then, like... Okay, so, let's see. Is this working? Why you gotta go there? Why you gotta...
Okay,
I was supposed to,
go.
Like... There we go. All right, we're live stream.
It's almost the first of the month, man.
It's the first of the... Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, this
How
is the...
How do you do with this glare? Like, look, you can see my glasses. You know, like, your glasses don't do this. What's up with that? See? All right, I'm out. Glasses are off. I'm sorry you guys all have to see my eyes. You know, I have not been getting high all day, just for the record.
I did not turn on live chat, so I'm actually going to restart this thing.
I don't want to live chat with anyone.
Okay, fine. Don't chat.
You can live chat. It's fine. If they want to say shit, they can come out here and talk shit. You know, like, I can handle it, but if you say anything mean, I'll be really, really sad.
Wow. Oh, well, it's too late. I should have been a veteran at this. I just, you know, it didn't work out. This is the season/series finale of the California Kitchen 2020 podcast by default, because it's going to be the end of 2020 soon. So, you know, December 29th.
So season two is California Kitchen 2021?
Yeah, sure.
We'll do one a year if we continue to survive, which, you know, at this point, odds are... not as good as you might expect.
But you know, the theme song to Californication, or one of them, is "Can't Always Get What You Want."
Yeah.
Do you have any things that you want that you can't get?
Oh, I've got a ton of things that I want that I can't get. Sure. Pretty. I mean, any girl under 50. Yeah. whatever. It is what it is.
That's it.
No. Well, what else? I mean, like, a real job, you know, money, you know, so job, money, girls, like, all the things that everyone wants that seems like some are successful at getting, you know, a good body. I mean, I could get that if I wanted to, but, you know, I just don't have the drive. You know how it is. And
yeah, I definitely know how that is.
What about you? What about you?
I don't know about me, but I know Esther Pavitsky can't always get what she wants, because she wants...
I think she did, actually.
She wants you.
No, I don't think she does.
But she can't get you.
The police say... the police have told me on numerous occasions she does not.
She's playing hard to get.
It's a really good game. She's playing very, very well.
It's more than I could say for our poker game.
Yeah, how come everyone says, oh, just... everyone says... But wait, these people, they've been watching the live stream. They know. But,
they've been watching the reruns, yeah.
How come everyone says, you know, you could just, like, slide into their DMs and stuff like that, right? Like, that's how you do things these days? Man, I'm sliding into all kinds of people's DMs, and all I'm met with is silence and slaps, you know? Like, all right, you know, whatever.
You know, like, people, non-poker people, slide into my DMs, and it's, like, it's a little awkward.
What do they say?
A lot of it's just like, hey, and it's just like, I look at their IG and they're like real people, and I'm like, what would you want to do talking to me if you're not like...
Are you sure they're real people? Or is their IG like girl pictures and bikinis?
Some are girl pictures, but like, they're just
those
like
aren't real
normal.
People. Those aren't real
people. Yeah, I mean,
people.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, they're just bots. They're just fishing for...
Autobots?
You know, like, yeah, they're just bots. They're fishing for incels who are desperate, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, that I could believe. But I mean, right. I actually think these are real people. I know they're fishing, but...
Maybe. But I mean, listen, I've already given them about $20,000 this year. So, you know, there's easy money out there. Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't win as much as you at poker, so...
I find that hard to believe. It's pretty, you know...
The only ones that really get me are the ones with the really ugly girls, because those are the realistic ones. So, you know, those are the ones I send money to.
Well, can't always get what you want. Hoping the vaccine comes out, we semi get to normal in 2021, right? You know.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, everyone thinks it's coming out like tomorrow, you know, for everyone. And then Fauci says quarter four. So I'm pretty sure we're going to have a real chance to do California 2021 too. Yeah.
Wow.
got nothing. But anyways, Wayne, I want to thank you. You know, this has been a great opportunity for me to show off my complete and utter lack of talent, and you know, a good way to spend some time making a, you know, what I would say, I wouldn't call it a positive contribution to the world, but it's not near. Positive. Well, it's positive in the sense that what I would be doing otherwise, it would be even more negative. So, you know, I mean, look, the stuff I do if, when I'm not on camera with you mostly involves the police. And so I think most people would consider this a step up. They would consider you performing a community service, keeping me from, you know, committing crimes, maybe saying some uncouth things, maybe, you know, demonstrating myself to be not a top quality individual. But, you know, this may not be what I want to do, Wayne, but this is what I need to do.
I kind of felt the same way. Like, it's been, like, therapeutic, just, like, revisiting Californication. Just, like, oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a good show, but, ooh, you know, in 2020.
If you guys, well, yeah, I mean, it's funny. There was that line in this episode, which I'm sure we'll get to. Yeah. But the line about, you know, like, Charlie Rungle, like, Bill talks about, like, how he can't release the book fucking and punching in this environment, and then later on Charlie Runkle was like, well, I don't know what he means by this environment, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, first of all, these guys, they won, had no idea what was coming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they did, maybe they had a little bit of permission, but then I was like, you know, Charlie, he really didn't know what the environment was, like, he thought he could just, like, sleep with, you know, co-workers who are his underlings and things like that, and I'm like, you know, when he says, I don't know what you mean by this environment, I was like, Runkle really didn't know what was meant by this environment, he had no idea, right, and he's gonna pay maximum carnage for that, although, I think that's season two, right? Wait, is that season one? Has he been outed as a masturbator already?
I don't think so, right? I don't know about him being outed, but...
Yeah.
Well, we have nobody joining us, so I guess that's a relief, but we're still going to live stream anyway, just in case, you know, people join. But,
Well, you got to text Jo and let her know that we're on.
She's in the game right now, I see. Well, so it's okay. It's fine. She's got important things to do.
Yeah. Well, must be nice.
Yeah. Season 1, episode 12, Last Waltz. So, Karen and Bill are at the altar.
Before you even get to that, Wayne, can I just mention, like, the shot of the scenery, like, at the very beginning, right? Like, the ocean and, like, California scenery is, like, an important character in the show. Mm. And, like, it might be simple and easy, but it's actually something that, you know, I really enjoy about the show, because California scenery is beautiful and the ocean is, you know, infinite and limitless. And, you know, it's like just scenes of like Hank looking out at the ocean. It's great to live in California, even if day-to-day life isn't like that. But it, you know, when you're out like driving around, you see these things, sometimes it does feel like that. And you get these moments where you're kind of filled with the sublime. And like that is, it's probably for me like something that's, you know, I don't often think about, but that actually attracts me to shows like this. Like placing a show on the coast of California actually matters, and it's you know, it looks amazing. Sorry to interrupt.
Can't disagree. That's one of the reasons you and I at different time periods, along with Karen, not this Karen, Green Dragon Karen, lived on the west side.
Yes.
You know, we yearned for that kind of beauty and peace after torturing ourselves with 52 cards.
For me, it was an accident that I lived there, but now I live on the beach now, so.
Yeah, so you had to go back.
Yeah, ladies, I live right on the beach.
We're going back, Barney.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you can see behind me the quality view.
Wow, it's the ocean.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. You know, like it's really amazing. You know.
So Karen and Bill are at the altar.
See, there you go.
Oh, there's... wow! Yeah. But that's San Francisco.
Oh wait, that's okay. Well, you know, all right, there we go. How about that?
Is that downtown L.A.?
What? It is downtown L.A. And you know, the thing is, I've noticed that when you put these backgrounds on, obviously the backgrounds look nice, but you end up looking really weird. You know, like the way it like. I mean, first of all, hiding my hair right now is a good thing because, you know, the hot water has been off my building for like a day and a half. It's like, and I don't have anything to do, so you ain't going to give me a shower in cold water right now. There. Mm. You know where that is?
No.
That is, they've actually filmed. There are Californication scenes that were filmed here. That is
USC.
That is Royce Hall at UCLA.
Oh, UCLA. Okay.
Yes. All right, there we go. That's a view out my window.
Oh. Ladies, that's the view out of his window.
All right. I can't imagine anybody still watching. Here, there's my bed. It's amazing.
Okay, I'm going to check one time. Nope, nobody's watching except us. So anyway.
Okay, just let it run then. If nobody's watching, let's just finish this shit off.
Karen and Bill are at the altar. The priest is like, does anybody have a problem with this joining? And everybody looks at Hank. Hank's like, I don't know. No. But Hank's like, Karen, I got a car. If you want to go, you say so. And then Hank tries to grab Karen, but instead he just falls over a cliff.
Yeah, this is a total normal thing to say to someone at a wedding, right? Super dick move. And also, why is Hank even at the wedding? I don't really know. I certainly wouldn't invite him if I were Karen and Bill. But, you know, there it is. And then Hank has to dream.
You have a brain? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, exactly. Right? There's just no reason. Like, the guys are... I mean, listen, I like Hank, all right, but he's... I mean, he can't really get out of his own head in a lot of ways, and he's just a loose cannon. You know, he's like bringing dynamite to, you know, a preschool. Not a good thing. So, you know, shout out to Nashville. So, it's a pretty weird scene, right? And they totally cheated us in this scene too, because you kind of had a sense that it was a dream, right? Like I think when you start watching, you kind of have a sense. And then Hank falls over the cliff, and then you know it's a dream because they're never going to kill off their main character. But then he wakes up in bed with Karen, right? That was a cheap move that they pulled, because like even you know I'd seen the show before, like you had, right? And we're kind of like rewatching it, you know, for 2020, you know, because. You know, some we have nothing better to do and very few ideas about productive ways to use our time. And, like, you know, I, like, kind of had forgotten that he woke up in bed with Karen. Like, I was confused. I was like, wait, what happened? Like, I didn't realize that was part of the dream still. I was like, oh, did he sleep with her again, like, right before the wedding? And I, like, forgot this, you know? And so they duped me, which I assume is for the second time. But that's a pretty cheap move, man, to have a dream within a dream. Mm. Come on, guys. That's some Shakespeare bullshit right there.
Life is a dream.
Yeah, right. I'm watching Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, Puck. Anyway, Hank wakes up with Karen in the dream within a dream, then is woken by Becca and says, it happened. Hank's like, what's it? She's like, it. What's
it? Yeah. It's not good.
And
it's not good.
They clearly drag this out what it is, and next scene they go to, they're at a quick stop or you know.
somehow they manage to go to some like kind of like corner grocery store in Venice and find the only two white trash people around to have a run-in with. So just in case you guys don't know, there's not really a lot of white trash down in Venice anymore, so I'm just saying, you know. But hey, maybe in 07, I don't know.
So Hank gets in this ridiculous argument with a lady who needs tampons, and somehow this lady can't like add two and two together that the tampons are for Becca.
It made no sense. Like the whole thing, like Hank couldn't just be blunt about it. Like they couldn't just, it was just such poor level of communication the whole way through. But really, really.
So what you're
stupid.
Saying, it's real. It was realistic. That's what you're saying.
Possibly realistic, you know. And then Brett Favre shows up too, you know, like the dude in the. The angry white dude, you know, with a buzz cut has to show up and get involved.
That was really Brett Favre.
Bad. No, it wasn't, but it kind of looked like him. Brett Favre's a white trashy looking, you know, Mississippi dude. So, yeah, you might have to turn this podcast off. I don't think you're allowed to talk trash about white people anymore, but you know, they certainly deserve it. So, by the way, check out my headband. I'm representing, if you look at my headband and my hairdo, I'm representing white trash pretty hardcore today. So, you know, listen, you know how you're allowed to talk shit about your own kind? Well, I'm allowed to talk shit about white trash.
Damn. Am I supposed to go off about it, Asians and fobs now?
You can if you want. I'm not allowed to, you know, but you can if you want, but I can't say anything in response. You know, whereas you can actually talk shit about white people. So we just rip on white people the whole time.
Yeah. I'd rather talk them up like, you know, Hank Moody, Becca Moody, Karen.
Yeah, it's fair. It's really low hanging fruit of punching down, you know, to rip on white people. So I get it. You know, it's just a little bit too easy. Yeah. So if you want to rip on Asians, I'm game. I'm just letting you know. All right.
I'm trying to get over some stuff. I'm trying to get better.
You're like, I'm trying to recover from high school. Yeah.
More than that, but anyway, Hank.
We all spend the rest of our lives trying to recover from school, man.
I want to get to that topic. You know, just like finding, like after we do the episode, just like trying to piece together meaning in our lives.
Why don't we just do our next podcast about how? You know, how men can find meaning in their lives by confronting their emotions, and we'll do like a half hour, like just cry fest. And, you know, okay. It seems like that we'll get a big new age audience.
Is that like Fight Club when like Bob, who has breasts from like his testicular cancer therapy?
Yeah.
Like crying?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why. Listen, we need a good cry every once in a while, you know, and I can't watch, you know, I can't watch the movie Up every day, so I need to find other ways to cry.
Do you cry from the beginning, like the?
It's the very beginning montage that's a tearjerker for sure. You know, the part where, I mean, listen, any montage where they go through like anyone's life, right? Like, is just, you know, from like birth to death, and like, you know, intersperse their relationships they have with people. Like, come on, man, that's just like anytime someone dies, you put together, you know, a montage of photos they had, you know, that like fade in and out or whatever, or like video clips and stuff like that, like with like sad music behind. Like, man, that's impossible. You know, who could deal with that? Like, man, even if they did like gangsters, you know, and they showed like their best kills and stuff like that. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that time he shot Johnny. You know, like, man, even that would get to me, probably.
I can't believe we did the penultimate episode 26 days ago. We really slacking.
You just say we're slacking. Yeah. Well, no, for me, what it was A, the holidays, right? So, you know, I had to have a lot of big, you know, Christmas celebrations. I had, you know, for like 4 nights in a row, I had 12 people over at my house, no masks. I didn't like any of them, so I was hoping I had coronavirus and I could pass along to them.
Wow.
And then also, I didn't want this to end. You know, I was just dragging it out as much as possible because, you know, this is like a real connection I have with you. And what I'm really afraid of is, like, all my other friendships, you know, you're just going to cut me off after this. And,
No. You complete me. Sorry,
I do. So, you know what? I have to be honest with this, like, bizarrely severe dry eyes I have. It's so easy to fake cry right now because the normal state of being for me is to have tears just rushing out of my eyes. So, you actually got to me.
Sorry.
No, it's okay, man. Like, what you said is, it just means so much. Like, you know, I'm just thinking about all the times his friends have let me down.
Damn.
Sorry, give me a minute.
Breathe. Ooh, stop.
Hey, if you guys want to hire me, I can act, you know, so just hire me at any time. You know, I'm available. You know, I'll get my headshots out. If you need somebody to play Kurt Rambis, I can, like, you know, I'm not tall enough to be on the Lakers, but, you know, I can, I'll wear stilts or whatever, man. I'm willing to do anything for the job.
Boom.
You know, I'm willing to do anything for the job. Anything.
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 You know what I mean. All right. Moving on. So,
Kevin Spacey, he's willing to do anything.
I just said, you know, listen, if the money's right, everything's tight. All right. Moving on.
So, Hank's ridiculous argument with the lady. And, you know, then the lady's dude gets involved and they get in a fight.
Yeah.
And then lady figures out, oh, it's Becca that needs the tampons. And yeah. Becca's like, yeah, my mom's getting married. And then lady's like, oh, not to this guy, right? And she's like, no. He's like, oh, go figure. And,
yeah, so it was the kindest end to a fight that's ever been seen.
Yeah, so lady helps Becca with the tampon. I really like the dude, the lady's husband. He's like, I'm sorry, man. When, you know, the woman I love just gets attacked, you know, I just, like, you know, go at it. And Hank's like, I understand. He's like, you understand, right? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, they had a coming together. I don't know why my camera seems so bad today, but is my camera always like this, Wayne? Is there always, like, this tint on it?
No, I just see the beauty on your inside.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe I should do this without a camera, but, you know, you guys can always listen to the audio version. Where can they listen to the audio
version? Oh, dude, the audio version's killing it.
Yeah, it's available everywhere, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys are offended by the facial hair that I have not done any upkeep to for months, you can always listen to the audio version.
So, Yeah, I
Yeah,
mean,
also Wayne's facial hair is not great either, so.
hey. At the wedding, Mia asks where Karen is. Cold Feet, you know, asks Bill. Bill, like, wants to block Mia for publishing Fucking and Punching, and Mia's like, you can't do this to me! And Bill's like, in this climate, this book is not okay.
Yeah, also, Bill is, like, he is who he thought he was, right? Like, everybody's been complaining about Bill, and I've kind of been, like, defending him, like, the whole time, but he pulls this, like, weak-ass power play. He's like, listen, I'm a big wig in the publishing industry. You know, I'm the man around here, and I can shut you down, you know? I'll just make a couple of calls, and you won't be able to publish your book, because I'm a big-timer. You know, like, listen, man, I guess I'm not surprised he's like this, but I guess he is a stick in the mud, like everyone says. I did like how he called out Hank Moody as his least favorite American novelist. I appreciated that. Not even wrong. If I were Bill, that would be accurate as well.
Well, it progresses into that where
progress like, gets even Bill, worse. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill like doesn't want Mia to publish this because of the subject matter: younger woman betting an older man, and the older man, you know, bears a striking resemblance to Hank Moody. Bill's
yeah, I mean, this really, listen, it's a really awkward situation to think about a 16-year-old publishing a book like that. It's really, I don't know if it would be unpublishable, but it's really uncomfortable. So, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But yeah, it definitely is about to escalate here. Mia's already hammered, and it's just going to get worse. So.
Yeah, Bill claims the novel resembles a female fantasy, and Mia retorts, what makes you think it's fantasy? Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Good.
And Bill's like,
yeah, some, we know the truth at this point. Bill and Karen, I guess, are the only people. Well, Bill, Karen, and Becca are the only, well. No, I guess nobody knows the truth, right? In their universe, nobody knows the truth except for Runkle does. Runkle's the only one other than those two, maybe.
Yeah, just like a lot of this episode, kind of makes me think, or you know, we can talk about this, but just like how many things like do we think are true that actually aren't, and you know, it's like I don't know how many things
it's all
kept from
it's
us.
All it's all true. It's all true, Wayne.
So, yeah, Marcy tries to get Karen to take a hit. Marcy advises that Karen give up the ass for Bill because they don't want any more after you give it to them. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. It's good advice.
Marcy says her perspective screwed up when a, you know, female ejaculation hit Runkle in the face. So.
Yeah. Also easy to imagine that screwed up perspective. Pretty gross. Yeah, I don't think you recover from that. You know, there's certain things that people find out or that people see that you just never recover from. It's just better if you can't unsee it. It's better if they don't know. Better if they don't see, you know. Everyone thinks like, you know, telling everyone the truth is, and like, look, that's obvious. The truth is obviously often very, very good, and you need to not keep things pent up inside. But man, there's definitely some things that people would be better off not knowing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can't undo it.
So, yeah, and then Karen admits to sleeping with Hank, and then Marcy's like, and Karen was like, he is, his dad passed, they were co-grieving, there was sadness, there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and then Karen starts crying. This is, you know, weddings are such a messed up time. You know, like, if you think about the emotions that are running through weddings, it's like, you know, people, because everybody at a wedding, like, you know, everyone who gets married is always a little bit worried that they're making a mistake, you know, like, because it's like it feels like this thing that you can't ever take back, and you kind of can't, right? Although you obviously can, but and so it's this really serious thing. And then the other thing is, like, weddings, they're like this time of, like, that are supposed to be like pure happiness, right? And they're moving on to a new phase of your life, but it's also closing off opportunities. Right, and it's closing off other paths for your existence, right? So, you know, we start with like so many different paths, right? And then it just keeps narrowing down, you know, more and more to only one path up until the time that we no longer exist. And honestly, I feel like, and I don't know if this is super common, but I feel like, you know, death sniffs around at weddings to me, because like at weddings, you start not only the people involved in the wedding, the bride, the people getting married. But everyone at the wedding starts thinking about their own futures, right? And like, you know, how do they go forward into the future? How do they get to this wedding spot or not, right? Or how they're continuing to live and things like that. And so, like, you know, anytime you're projecting into the future and thinking about what that entails, we know what the end of that is, right? The reason we have to project the future, the reason we have to make decisions about how our existence goes, is because we eventually don't exist anymore, right? If we existed forever, we could just keep redoing and redoing and redoing and, you know, fixing, right? Or, you know, saying, listen, I'm done taking this path. Now I'm going to take another path and everything would be fine. We could live infinitely, but we don't, right? You get one. And so the wedding is like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've always felt like it's this like incredibly happy moment, but that there's a little bit of sadness underneath it, if that makes any sense. So,
I mean, I wanted to do a comedy piece of just like when the bridesmaids and the groomsmen like give their speeches, like what they actually think.
Yeah, you can't.
Or they.
Well, I mean, listen. First of all, sometimes it's really actually great, and they think it's going to be great, but.
Hmm.
You know, like, you certainly can't have a groomsman saying, like, you know, you better have to...
I had her first.
Well, yeah, that would be real bad. Like, you know, or, you know, I'm not sure you really want to do that since I had her yesterday. you know, or whatever. Like, well, you know, you guys can have all the marriage stuff, but I hope I keep getting all the side action. Mm. Hope that doesn't shut down. Right, Karen?
Side bets. The bonus bets.
Side bets are definitely bonus, for sure.
So, So Runkle and Mia exchange some words, very mean words. Runkle's like, this is Hank's book. I think you're frozen.
Yeah.
I know that you're back. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're back. You were frozen for a second too. Yeah, very, this scene, you know that Nelly song, that like Nelly lyric that says, that's like,
Dilemma.
You know, he said, what?
Dilemma.
I'm not sure what, like the song. But oh, I don't know what song it is, but there's a Nelly lyric where he says something like, you want to do this, you know, you want to do this. And then he's like, I'm just joking, unless you wanna. Right? Because like, you know, what he's really doing is like suggesting something. Like, guys do this all the time. Like, this is actually like a way that you kind of flirt, but it's also like prodding. And it's a way that you can be like a little bit inappropriate and then pull back and be like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, you thought I was serious. I was just joking.
Right?
That's totally what Charlie's doing when they have this like conversation. Where like they're talking shit to each other, and then Charlie's like, you looking to get a little of that now, right? And like, here's the thing, he says it like angrily, like he's being sarcastic, but he's not. He totally was trying to get some of that. I'm just saying, you know, because he can get away with that, because he can be like, well, I was just being an ass. I was just treating you like, because, you know, you're a jerk or whatever. But he's not. Charlie's totally trying to get in with that. Mm. He's trying to get that 16-year-old, no doubt. No doubt in my mind.
So, yeah, and then Hank and Becca roll up in the used Porsche. Marcy says, I know you hit that, the Karen. And Hank's like, oh, wow, girls just, like, tell each other everything.
Oh, you can't. Nothing. The thing is, girls can keep secrets about themselves that they will never tell anybody else. They are extremely good at that. But, yeah, they tell their friends everything about you.
Yeah,
trust me, like, listen, your girlfriend's friends know your size down to the centimeter. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. All 2 millimeters of it?
Well, I mean, they round up to 1 centimeter. That's the lowest they can.
Well, then it's one.
Yeah.
Hank and Karen see each other before the wedding. Hank says it wasn't supposed to happen. Karen wasn't supposed to get married. Not
Never
Flusher.
Is.
Hank wasn't supposed to flush his career down the toilet. Becca, you know, wasn't supposed to get tampon coaching from another woman.
Mm-hmm. That's how life is, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like decisions in one spot, right? There's just, you know, everything snowballs, right? There's just series of coincidences, and one decision leads to another decision point, and, you know, ultimately you can't ever go back with this stuff, right? And that's always why, you know, like kinds of sayings like the grass is always greener, not the ass is always greener, but the grass is always greener. And, you know, like sayings like that, right? Because people are always... It's like we're built to have this like regret about the path we didn't take, which is this like awful thing that your brain does to you, right? You can't just be happy. Like, look, Karen's gonna have a good life with Bill, right? Like, he's not that bad of a dude. He's got a really nice house. You know, like, I mean, I don't know. Seems like the really nice house is what the girls really want, right? So, like, she's got everything, right? He's out of town a lot. She could probably still sleep with Hank on the side, you know, and, she's going to have it better than, like, you know, almost any other people. But.
Took over part of Mia's castle.
What's it? Yeah, Mia's gone soon, you know. Mia needs her independence so badly, she's getting out of that house as soon as possible. Plus, she's probably got, like, a trust fund or something like that, money that she's going to be able to access when she's an adult. She's gone, for sure. Yeah, she's got it pretty good, man. But she's going to have regrets. She's going to say, oh, this wasn't supposed to be like this. I was supposed to be with Hank, right? And she's always going to wonder, because that's what you do. man, like when you like break up with someone, you always go back and wonder like how it would be, right? Half the time you end up getting back with that person. You know, like, I mean, that's just, you know, like you always wonder. It's just, our brains are evil. You know, they actually try to bring us back together, I think. Whether it's good or bad.
So Karen tells Hank she's going through with this. And then, you know, they're at the wedding again. And the priest is like, speak now or forever hold your peace. And then Hank's like, and then Mia's like, whoa!
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone's kind of shocked.
Wayne, how many weddings have you been to?
I don't know, like 10, 15.
Yeah, I've been to too many weddings myself. You know, thankfully we're old enough that the kind of age of all our parents getting married, like our parents, not our parents, sorry, our friends, you know, it's kind of over, right? Like now our friends are getting married for the second time, but they don't, you know, they don't have like a huge blow off for that, right?
They're running it twice.
Yeah, but the, you know, the parents don't come with the cash for that one. Ooh. So, you know, like you got to just go before a judge, right? Or, you know, like, but yeah, so like the kind of age of us having to attend weddings is over, for which I'm very thankful. But like, have you ever seen anybody object at a wedding?
No. I mean, they don't even ask the question.
Yeah, they don't even, right? Or that doesn't happen except in the movies, right? And you can't really like object to a wedding. Like, what kind of information could you have that would actually, well, you know, I'm having his baby or something like that? Like, I guess that could. I guess you could have information that would make people not want to get married, but it's not the right forum to do it. You should probably let that person know ahead of time if it's something you really think you have to let them know. And maybe you should just keep your mouth shut.
All right. The next time you get married, Esther, it's over, man. It's over.
No, Esther's parents are really old, so she's got a nice inheritance coming soon. Although I think they live in like Naperville or whatever, so the inheritance isn't going to be that nice, but I mean, it's still going to be something.
So, Mia says Karen and Bill don't even love each other. Mia says Karen's still in love with Hank. They still love each other. Hank tries to calm Mia down. Mia's like, yeah, what do you think you could do? Bang me and shut me up? Oh.
This is just like, you know, I mean, first of all, you can't let teenagers get drunk at weddings, I guess. And this is a pretty terrible scene. And what's amazing to me is that this scene doesn't like end the wedding right here. Like, Bill's just allowed to, maybe I haven't gotten to this part yet, but Bill's just allowed to, like, throw a punch, right? And then the wedding just, like, continues. Because, like, Hank is actually decent enough to let it continue, basically. So, but pretty wild scene here. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill swings at Hank. Karen is like, what did you do? Hank tells Nia, like, do it right, you know? Or like, you know, tell the story right. And then Bill's like, did you sleep with Hank? He's like, of course not. So Bill says, simple, doesn't matter what happened before you do. This is the Karen. It's simple. It doesn't matter what happened before. Do you want to marry me? Karen says, yes, I do. So it's always like, just makes me think like how many things are said to us or some narrative that just like,
what do you mean? Explain.
Just like if something happens bad, we're told some narrative or some story, possibly like COVID in 2020.
You mean the lie that is the COVID, right? You know, what they're calling this new thing that's just the flu or what?
Just like what data, what narrative is like fudged to just like manipulate what's going on and just like, you know, the effects that actually has on it, just, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, but look, people are more than happy to latch on to stuff that fits their own pre-existing narratives, but it's not hard to find that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the kinds of things you believe, like they have an impact on how you're going to interpret everything. Bill is, I think he really wants to believe that Mia didn't sleep with Hank, even though it feels kind of obvious that she did in this particular scene. Like, I don't know, but you know, Mia's genuinely the kind of nuts that would make this up, though. That's one thing. But see, Bill doesn't see her like that. Like the book, maybe he sees her differently because of the book, now that he's read the book, and he's just like, whoa, like my daughter is actually like a, you know, close to an adult person, right? She's not an adult, but obviously, you know, 16-year-olds, they know a lot of stuff, right? So like they're, you know, but Bill like never saw her like this. He always thought she was like super innocent, like the super great daughter. And you know, he's like being forced to reckon with this in the moment where he's getting married. But he wants to see it one way, and maybe he eventually does see it that way. But he did punch out Hank, so. But he did punch him. He didn't punch him out. Maybe he's weak. I don't know.
Can't always get what you want. And Becca's band plays.
Well, yeah. First, you get a montage with Hank looking out at the ocean, right? Which I was kind of talking about how this is a big thing for a Californication. You know, just people being pensive, right? People thinking about, you know, looking out at the ocean like Odysseus must have once upon a time, right? Or the sea, wondering whether he would ever make it back home, and Hank having to look out and accepting right now that Karen is not his, right? That like this is now seemingly irreversibly moved on. To the point where he's going to have to move on, right? Which, I mean, the Hank we know, it's not clear that he'll ever be able to actually do that. So, this is very difficult. And yeah, then you get to the Becca singing part. Really kind of strange song to choose.
Just only women bleed.
I mean, come on. Like, in this episode, of all things, to have Becca sing that song the day she gets her period? Like, are y'all serious? Like, really? That's how it's gonna be? All right. Pretty juvenile humor. Also, strange song for a wedding, I would say. And by the way, Becca still can't sing. She's just god awful. Like when they did this casting, why did they not hire a girl who could sing? I do not understand it. Atrocious. And I feel bad for her that they made her do this. Like she must have been so embarrassed having to sing over the entirety of the scene. Really sad. She should be, anyways. If she's not embarrassed, somebody tell her she should be.
Becca dances with Hank, says he's tragically flawed but has a good heart. Hank takes it. Mia cuts in to dance with Hank. Hank says, I suppose I should thank you. Mia says, they're about even. Bill will be publishing the book. Feels better thinking that Mia and Hank didn't, you know, make a pair on the flop. Mia tells Hank, better him than some rich prick in the back of a Beamer. And Mia's like, girl never forgets her first.
What do you think, Mia's telling the truth? Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
I don't.
No?
I don't think she is.
She just wants to needle him?
I think so. I mean, she's just so comfortable with herself in the bookstore. I mean, she's so comfortable self, you know, throwing haymakers in bed. I don't buy it. And the thing is, if it were somebody else, I might buy it, but, like, Mia's not a truth teller. Like, Mia's devious and a liar, and she's always playing games with your mind. So, like, yeah, I kind of doubt it. But, of course, she's a character, so there's no actual answer to the question.
Sure.
But, like, yeah, I don't... I mean, I think this is just her fucking with Hank's mind. So
first body and then mind.
Yeah, that's what she did. It's not fair to say she did it with the body. Like, Hank did it. You know, as well, but
fair.
But she's definitely messing with him. I mean, like I do think she's in love with him, for whatever way that her sociopath heart can fall in love with someone. So, yeah.
So
And by the way, you're tragically flawed, but you have a good heart. That's a pretty good compliment.
Sure.
I mean, you know, like having a good heart is something that a lot of people don't have. So, you know, and many of us are tragically flawed. It's okay.
Hank brings Marcy to Runkle and tells them to dance, 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 dance. Hank and Karen is sorry that he didn't... Hank is sorry to Karen that he didn't give Karen this day. And this is a beautiful thing. Most beautiful things. Her. So it's a very nice thing. Hank said, and Hank said, all went by so fast the moment they met until the moment they didn't get married. Bill cuts in.
Yep.
Hank laments having a shot with her once and then blowing it, which...
Yeah, but that's really life, right?
Sure.
I mean, it all goes by so fast. It's, you know, like, everyone says this about their children, right? Like, as frustrating it is to raise, like, really young kids, like, enjoy it because it's going to be over in the blink of an eye. Yep. You know, and, like, and the thing is, the older you get, the faster things move. So it just feels like a constant fight against time slipping away and possibilities slipping away. And so that, you know, that's how weddings feel to me. Time slipping away and possibility slipping away. And, you know, like friends going away, friends leaving you for their future children. You know, it's more just abandonment by the people who love me.
Bill cuts in. Hank laments having a shot with her. Oh, whoops, that was already. The Runkle and Marcy make up rabbit style.
Yeah. He's being very nice. He's being very nice to her clam in that scene. Very nice.
Becca gets the kiss, Hank.
For about 30 seconds, if we know Charlie.
Yeah. Well, and then the kiss is less, and then Hank gives the dude a curfew, and then Becca enters the Hank port and says, you know, she got asked on a date. Hank says maybe, which is, you know, a big contrast from the beginning of the season when.
That's a good point.
Becca's like, how else do you get guys like you? So, you know, this looks like.
Yeah, like Hank was really overzealous in protecting his daughter, right? Things like that, and like the scene at the school, and things like that. So, I totally agree with you. There's definitely been a change. But then, of course, he says, of course you can go on a date. And then he says, maybe your old man can grow the fuck up already. And then Becca says, maybe it happens anyway, whether you like it or not. Like, when she says maybe it happens, she means the shit she's going to do is what she means, right? She means maybe I'm going to start dating. You know, like, you don't really get a say in it, Dad. Like, I'm growing up. And that's how it is. That really is how it is, you know? Like, you lose control. It's not yours anymore, you know, basically. And it's not your decision to make. People are going to grow up.
So as they're talking, Karen just, you know, jumps in the Porsche, and then they're off. She's just like, go, 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 go. And then, you know, they drive off. Bill chases, and can't always get what you want. But it seems like in this case you do.
It seems like he is getting what he wants, or Karen's getting what she wants. Fair. Man, I mean, listen, one of the things I've kind of hinted at over the season is, like, Karen's a pretty shitty person.
Damn.
And she's a shitty person, man. Mm. It is what it is. Like, she seems, like, nice. She's very, very charming. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, Hank and Karen kind of belong together. But, you know, like, yeah, this is a pretty classless move right here. Imagine, do you know have you ever heard of anybody running out on a wedding?
I kind of understand. Not the actual wedding, but like.
I kind of understand people no showing a wedding, right? But no showing a wedding is just like you get to this moment of truth, and like, you know, it really sucks. But if people decide they can't go through with it for their own reasons, that's just how it is.
Yeah, it's better to cut it off. You know?
Right. Now, no showing a wedding, I think, is not cool. I think you should, you know, at the moment you make the decision not to attend, you should let people know. You know, like, I don't think you should just leave people, like, at the altar, right, and not show up. That's pretty classless. But, I mean, I could forgive somebody for that. I think it's much tougher for me to forgive what Karen did. That's pretty classless.
It's pretty bad. It's definitely pretty bad. Although I wanted this kind of ending for Californication and Hank and Karen and Becca.
Well, and we kind of have to get something. We have to get something dramatic, right? It's the season finale. We got to get people, you know, sticking around to season two. Of course, you could have more drama playing out with season two. Like, you could have her, like, you know, kind of like going back to Hank in season two or whatever. You didn't have to do it right now. Things like that. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, I guess it makes sense. They're all, you know, they all drive away together as like a, you know, a happy family from the car. But like, oh man, like, one thing that this show doesn't kind of do appropriately, I would say, as you go into the future seasons, is it doesn't acknowledge the incredible reputation hit that this would be to Karen, right? Like, this would be just a massive, in the circles that she's in, this would be like a huge blow for her reputation, because like, she would be known as the person who like ran out on the wedding, you know, with Bill the bigwig, and like, it would be bad. It would be pretty ugly. Wait, is that it?
No. Hank, Becca, and Karen, three-way dance.
Oh, okay.
Now it's it.
All right, well, bye. Hey, y'all. Thanks.
Peace.
No.
Peace.
No.
This ends. Since 2020. We just passed through, you know, midnight, so it's like December 30th. So.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We've only got like 2 days left of 2020? And then on January 1st, God is taking away coronavirus, right? Like, we don't have to deal with this shit anymore. Like, we already learned the lesson about how completely inept we are at, you know, dealing with something that required, like, you know, individuals to make decisions for the benefit of other people. Like, and how we're all just, like, naturally just, like, you know, pure selfishness and pure ego and, like, you know, unwilling to give up, you know, chilies for, you know, keeping grandma alive and whatnot. Like, so it's done now, right? Like, we've been tested, we lost, but now the test is over. Yeah. Okay.
We keep getting retested, and then God's like, "Oh, you lost again. Oh, and again."
You have to keep getting retested. It's like STIs.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're like, "Oh no, you're still bad at this game."
Oh man, God, why is God like this? Why is he gotta be like this, man? Like, why can't you just be nice? Like, why can't you just make this like paradise? Like, seriously, why'd you have to give me sexual desire? That pretty much ruined my life. Thanks, dude. Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, end of 2020.
Why can't I have hot water in my building?
Yeah, why? It makes things harder, right? So,
why do I have to be this deprived? I am one of the most deprived people on the planet. Why? Where's
first
my
world
privilege?
Country?
Where's my privilege, man? Where's my privilege? You know, like, can you guys see the background behind me, right? Like, look at how I'm living. Like, this ain't
brutal.
Right.
Yeah,
it ain't
brutal.
Right. You know? Like, seriously, it really isn't right. Yeah, all right. There we go. Yeah, okay. All right. That's better. Yeah. Now I got a nice place. Yeah. I'm a big time, successful person.
Yeah. I was talking with some people, not explicitly, but just like finding meaning in all the stuff that we've done in life and how many things are unresolved or just are unlikely to ever be resolved.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah. You kind of less like you're technically supposed to let go and just be like, there was no meaning in that event.
I got bad. I got bad news for you, Wayne.
Yeah.
There's no meaning in any of it.
There is though.
You can make some meaning. You can make it for yourself, but it doesn't come. There's no objective source from which the meaning comes from. You get to make it up, basically.
Yeah.
And you have to. I guess it's one way to cope with, you know, what is really like, you know, true, utter meaninglessness is to provide meaning for yourself, which I think is important.
Yeah, it is. Just like, you know, something happens or you want to do something or something bad happens,
right,
or something good happens.
But look, a lot of that stuff, like the coincidence type stuff, there really isn't any meaning to that. Like, you have to create meaning by like the process, basically, by like the way you live life, by the principles you hold.
Sure.
But like, people try to find meaning, like they try, like they'll be doing something bad and something bad will happen to them, or they'll be doing something good and something bad will happen to them, and they'll say, oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do it like this or whatever. But like, all that stuff is mostly bullshit. You know, that's just like you putting together unrelated stuff. You know what meaning is, right? Meaning is what we're doing right now. Meaning is to connect, you know, like what you're supposed to do is to connect with other people. That's the goal. That's the game. You know, like that's the...
Wish I could connect with the flop.
Yeah, well, you can't, right? But imagine if you did, right? The accident of not being able to hit a flop has caused so many negative consequences in your existence.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, if you could hit a flop, you would be rich. You know? You can't. Oh,
they just hit harder.
Yeah, like, look at who, you know, exactly. Well, who hits, sometimes when good things happen to you, even better things happen to everyone else, so you still feel like shit. You know, because we judge ourselves only relatively, not absolutely.
Monkey cucumber.
So, exactly. Right? Like, really, I have lukewarm water in my building right now. That puts me in what percent of the world population? Pretty hot, right?
Real.
But I'm pissed. I'm pissed off, right? Like, I'm not comparing myself to people who have to, you know, like, steam up a bucket, you know, with, you know, like, to boil some water so they can bathe, like, you know, six people in, like, the same... you know, tub or whatever. I'm not comparing myself with them. I'm comparing myself with, you know, the people who live next door to me. I know they got hot water. This is bullshit, man. It doesn't have anything to do with Californication.
Hey, we're just...
Except for the fact that you can live a pretty good life without Karen.
Yeah,
you know, but if you put Karen at the top, if you put her on the pedestal, then you can't, right? And then no one will ever compare to Karen. So your job is to not put people on pedestals, you know? But I, you know, what can I say? So, I mean, you know, earlier at the beginning of the show, you asked me, you know, like, what you can't get what you want, but you get what you need. What does that mean? What does that mean for you?
I don't know. I'm like, one by one, closing off, you know, stuff I'm doing and just kind of being mostly at peace with the stuff I set out to do, I guess. So,
I mean, maybe if what you want is to always be successful, right, to have everything that you do be a success, that's obviously not going to happen for anyone, right?
Yeah, but like, you kind of have to choose where to stop in every
sure.
industry.
Well, but maybe the process is what you need. Like, you need to have that goal-oriented directive, right, where you're like pushing towards something, and not everything, what you want is to be successful with it, but not everything actually has to be a success. Obviously, you have to be successful with something, or you'll, you know, be in real trouble or whatever. But like, it's okay, right? To like, what you need is to push. What you need is to have something to move towards. What you want is to be successful in everything that you do. But obviously, that's a pipe dream. You know, I mean, except for like, you know, Harvey Weinstein pre 2017. So
that's a success.
Yeah. He thought so.
Rotten.
But yeah, I mean, what, I don't know, what, you know, sometimes what you don't want, sometimes you want like a lot of money, but you get a little, you know, like sometimes you want a real job, but what you get is a government check. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know what I want. You know, I want to make a lot of money, but right now, what do they send me? They send me like $400 a week, right? I get what I need. You know, it's not enough for hot water. But, I mean, but you can see my hair.
Water. Lukewarm water.
You can see my hair right now. There's no requirement. When you don't leave your house, there's no requirement that you bathe. I mean, yeah, it does feel like I'm covered in lice right now. But, like, I mean, there, you know, no one else, like, I mean, I can smell myself, but nobody else can smell me. You know, like, who cares? Right?
I can, like, smell you.
Yeah, no, you cannot. You're across
You smell. I could. That's just. We are very many miles away, and I could smell.
Okay, so I assume you're speaking figuratively, but probably what you're actually smelling is the gigantic, like, you know, 50,000-pound sewage dump that has closed all of the beaches in Long Beach, so that I cannot currently walk out on the beach because it's closed, and it's going to be closed until like next week because there was an electrical outage. I'm not sure if it was a result. Did you hear that storm the other day?
It was raining.
So our East Coast fans will not really understand what's going on here. Mm. But there was, the other day, there was rolling thunder, massive thunder and lightning in Long Beach. This is something that happens about once every 5 years, I would say, or so. So it's a very unusual occurrence. And I thought it was an explosion when I first heard it, because an explosion in 2020 is probably more likely than rolling thunder in Southern California. So like, I was like, yeah. Oh great, who now people are letting off bombs right by me, this is just great. But it turned out it was just thunder, which also freaked me out, not gonna lie. But yeah, so we've had rain in Southern California, which y'all should appreciate how important that is.
Oh yeah, I can't stand the rain.
So Wayne, I really do appreciate you, you know, dragging me. I can't say you dragged me out of bed, because as you can see, I'm still just sitting up in my bed.
I'm just lucky the right person wasn't in bed with you, so you were able.
Oh, it was definitely, it's definitely the wrong, it's definitely the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And I paid too much. Yeah.
No discount? No handsome man discount.
No, well, can you see my hair? Like I argue for it, but
maybe,
she
likes it that way.
No, well, they took a picture, they sent it back to the pimp, and they said absolutely not. No discount today. What can you do? You know? And then I had to pay the, you know, skin fungus surcharge. All right, I'm done. Yeah, you guys don't stop bathing.
All right, this concludes the 2020 Californication.
What a
podcast.
Note to conclude on.
Shout out to number one fan Joe Kim, who is busy doing actual work tonight.
Bye, y'all.
We promise she's not a fictitious person, but you know. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, hope you guys.
We should have created more fans, man. We should have had fans like arguing with us on YouTube. Like fans just giving us mad props. Like
we're lucky to get anybody to watch. So
yeah, that's
our audio versions are like doing well. I don't know what to say.
Well, thank you guys for listening. I'm not, you know, I am touched that anybody wants to hear what we have to say, because my entire life people have, you know, just dismissed me out of hand, and you know, I can't say they're unjustified in doing so. But I do really appreciate that there's an audience out there for this. I think it's just a matter of time before we blow up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like, I think what probably has to happen is, like, maybe, you know, like, maybe if I, like, you know, if I take Wayne out or something like that, then people hear about this show. And then, like, you know, it always just changes, like, posthumously. Like, you know, so, like, I think the posthumous fame will be big for him, and I'll be able to ride along the coattails. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. But it's also just, like, dude, like, when this gets rebooted, when California Kitchen gets rebooted, they're going to, like,
yeah.
Tom Kaminos and David Duchovny are going to see this, and they're like, wow.
Could you imagine them rebooting, like, Californication? It'd be, like, Hank and Karen in, like, a retirement home, and, like, Karen slipping off for, like, the dude in the retirement who controls all the candy access and stuff like that. Man, what a great show. You know, why that'd be, you know, and, like, Becca, like, never comes to visit them. They're all sad, like, oh, you know what? When will Becca come to visit? You know, oh, I'm so busy, Dad. You know, like, I'm sorry I can't come to visit. Wow, this would just be fantastic. Like, you know, they get to look at, like, you know, the scene of the ocean, like, on their wall, right? Because they can no longer, like, walk out. You know, it's only, like, 100 steps from their place, but they can't even walk.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, Hank would be like, you know, Becca, you know, when I was there for you all those times, and Becca would be just like, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, I say this all, but, you know, I wonder if David Duchovny would still have the same girlfriend right now. Because doesn't he have a girlfriend who's like...
I have no idea.
He has a girlfriend who's really young. Yeah, so he is... His girlfriend is... I don't know what year this is. His girlfriend is like... He's 60 and his girlfriend is 27.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. That's if they're still together. I don't know. They were together a few years ago. Hey, it's nice to be in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
It's nice to look like David Duchovny, although I have to tell you, like, yeah, I really do think the male wall is like 55. Like, I think it just goes, you know, we get so much longer than women, but it really goes to hell eventually. And Duchovny, it's gone to hell for him. Sorry.
Damn. He's gone to the X-Files?
It's 2020, man. Looking like an alien now.
All right, we're not going to be able to stall. We could stall for another 3 minutes and 50 seconds, or we just won't hit the hour mark.
Do we need to hit the hour mark? You want to? We can talk about stuff.
Okay.
All right. Cheers, y'all. Hey, guys. I hope you had a great... Let me rephrase that. I know you didn't have a great 2020. I know 2020 sucked, unless you put all your money in Robinhood. But, you know, I hope you guys have a much better 2021. I hope 2021 is better for all of us. I hope people stop dying. I hope that... you know, we have better leadership from the top down. I hope we, you know, are able to start doing the things that we haven't been able to do. I hope that we all find jobs. I hope that we're able to feed the homeless. I hope that America, you know, cleans up its foreign policy and stops bombing brown people across the globe. And I hope for all of you that you cherish the people who are close to you, and that you're able to connect with people in a real meaningful way, in a way that Wayne and I really cannot. So I hope that you guys enjoyed the podcast. I want to thank I call him a partner, but Wayne was really the guy to the show. You know, Wayne had to coax me to do every episode, and I really appreciate my good friend Wayne Chang, who is, you know, he's the best poker player I know. I only know like three poker players. Okay,
Mike L just rolled in his grave.
But yeah, well, listen. Mike L's a one-trick pony. He only knows how to play one game. Okay, so you can tell him I said that.
That's
and
better.
But Mike L is at that particular game. He's very, very good. So I'm not gonna hate on Mike L on this podcast. But you know, Wayne, I really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for dragging me out. Thank you for giving me something to do. Thank you for increasing, you know, the number of people who know who I am. And I figure at some point I'll be walking down the street and somebody will say, dude, you're that like dirty dude who, you know, talks about Californication in an inappropriate way on the internet. And I hope that none of my prospective students ever, ever, ever watch this, because they will be horrified at the person that their teacher is. And I don't reveal this side of myself in class. So if you are one of my students and you actually have sat through all these episodes, just know that the stuff that I said on this podcast is not stuff you will have to encounter in my classroom.
What an amazing speech, Michael and Moss. I enjoyed this as well. You know, we are not on the graveyard shift anymore propping, which, you know, despite
the... But we apparently are still on it.
Despite the poker play, you know, that was among the highlights of, you know, human interaction.
You know, I have to say, once we went to the graveyard shift, I'm not sure our human interaction was great. I think it was mostly like, what time? How much time do? Are we gonna have to do overtime today? Like, oh shit! You know, like, oh, I hope this game breaks. I hope this game breaks so we don't have to do overtime. And like, we were super professional, man. The game never broke because of us. We always did our job, you know. But like, nonetheless, while we were doing our job, we were like texting back and forth, like, God damn it, I hope these people leave. Like, don't these people have jobs they have to go to in the morning? Like, fuck this. But, all right, just in case the bike is listening to this, you know, you guys need to know, like, we're
the most professional. Like, back.
We deserved it. We did our jobs, man. We really
for
did.
Sure. For sure.
So, all right. Shout out to Aaron. Miss Aaron.
Shout out to Aaron. Shout out to, you know, shout out to Jonathan Ng. Shout out to Annie.
Shout out to Patty. Shout out to Filipino Bobby, who kept many a game going at night.
We gotta stall for another 17 seconds. But I'm
doing good. All right. Who else? Shout out to Lynn.
Shout out to Lynn.
Shout out to James. You know, he's good. He's a good dude. shout out to who else kept the games going all night? Who played at night, man? You remember that three-handed game we played against that kid from New York? And
he took everything.
He won like six racks off us that night. Like we both just got like absolutely destroyed. We lost like collectively like six racks or something like that. Like it was just, and he had just won a tournament too. Like it was, and he wasn't a bad player. I mean, it wasn't a game we should have been playing, but I mean, he it's not like he was like better than us, but he wasn't really worse than us either. So.
But he's better than me. He won. So.
Well, yeah, he killed us. You know, he got a nice story to tell. Like, yeah, I just broke these two props. There's no more graveyard games at the bike because these two guys just had to quit on the spot. Oh, man. I'm so stupid, too. You know, I sought that game out. I asked him if he wanted to play. Mm. You know, I was like, hey, man, we'll start the game for you if you want to play. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sorry about that $2,000, Wayne. My bad.
All right, guys, we hit the hour mark, so we're at the three figures. Thanks for...
You guys need to understand, we get paid more if we make it to an hour.
No, we don't get paid anything more. It's just all ego, the fact that we can even last for an hour. Please, shout out to Mike Lamas, who's the Tiny Tim of 2020.
Give us something, guys. Damn it.
All right, guys. Bye. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. Smash that thumbs up, hit subscribe. Peace out. Subscribe to Live with the Bike, too.